But anyhow, it's great to be here. I'd like to thank our brother Colin for inviting me along tonight, and your minister, Reverend Higginson. I have to get the whole title right. And it's great to see him up here, up working for the Lord in this part of the country, and I know that the Lord is blessing him. What I'd love to do, just to start off with, if I can get this to work, do I need to hit anything to get the next one to go? That's here. That's it, isn't it? Okay. What I want to do, before we start, because everybody's sitting there very quiet, and everybody's sitting like this here, and everybody's very uptight, and they're all, okay. I want just to get our heads thinking a wee bit, okay? Because I love to think about when we're all together like this, and we're all round praising the Lord, and in the Lord's presence, you know, very often we just focus on the person up at the front. If that's the minister, if it's the singers, whoever it is, maybe it's Joe Bloggs like me coming along tonight, you're stuck with, whoever it is, and sometimes we just think, well, we'll listen to them, you're the audience, and that's the person who's the speaker. But I like to think as a congregation, and a congregation to me means all together, so we're all working at this together, we're all praising the Lord together, and we're all going to look at God's word together. If it's so easy to sit there, I know what it's like, and sometimes after a long day, I know the Sabbath and Sunday is supposed to be a day of rest, but very often it's the busiest day of the week, just with so many things going on in the Lord's work. But I want us to really think tonight, and just to get us thinking, here's a wee quick one for you. If this comes up on screen. Right, how many horses are up there? Nice simple one just to get you going. How many do you see? Stick your hand up and tell me. Don't be shy. How many? Three. Who agrees? Put your hand up very quickly. Three. Okay, you're wrong. Have another go. Who? Four. Is there four? Well, you're actually wrong. Have another go. But good try. It's great to try. Good to see you try. Brilliant. We're all thinking now, you see. How many is there? Seven. Anybody agree? Seven? No, not quite right. Is this a hard question? I thought this was an easy one. Five. Yes, good man. Five. Okay. Five up there. There's five horses up there. So if you can't see them at the minute, you can take a wee look on the computer after and take a wee look. Okay? Five up there. There you are. Okay? One more just to get us thinking. What's that up there? Anybody going to tell us very quickly? What do you think's hidden behind the rest of that black? A fence? What else? Who said that? Somebody over here. Was it you? What's your name? Hannah. Well done, Hannah. Yes, well done, Hannah. It's a football net. And that's what I want to talk a wee bit about here, okay? I want you to I'd just love you to pray for this over the summer. It's a wee outreach coming up in the first week in August. And our brother Gary Craig, is going to be down and speaking to the young people every day at this. It's a sports fun week, as it says up on screen there. We have volleyball, tennis and football. Kids and young people. There's a junior section in the morning, senior section in the afternoon. And we have what we call our challenge time, where our brother Gary brings God's word to the young people of the local area in Portadown in the Killigamain estate. And the district around that. We'll just ask you to really pray for that, that the Lord will move and move in a mighty way. We've been hearing great reports just recently, even from our brother Colin there. I'm sure some of you know Colin Pensley. Who knows Colin Pensley, by the way? Any of you know? Yeah, just a couple. Uh-huh. And the Lord's been doing great things there. And our brother Guy and with the team down there in Belfast and the Martyrs, there's been great things happening amongst the children and the young people there. I had the great privilege of going for 9 days with Colin Pensley. Privilege. Going along, I'm trying to get my energy levels up now. I need to buy a whole crate of Red Bull anyhow to keep going, keep Colin's pace up. But we're looking forward to going out there for 9 days out to do a camp for 7 of those days, hopefully in the will of the Lord. And that's the 2nd of July until the 11th of July. So we'll be coming home the 11th night from Dublin. We'll be able to look out over the plain and see all the bonfires, bird's eye view and all that. But really would love you to pray about that. And really pray that the Lord will speak to those young people. There's going to be 100 orphans coming to camp. And along with Colin and ourselves at the Reach in Portadown, through the generosity of God's people, all those kids, all those young people have all been sponsored to come along. All 100 of those orphans. So the camp's going to be fully paid. They're going to be transported and brought down from different places where they live. and we're coming together for a Christian camp for a full week, and I'm really excited about that and really looking forward to it. And at the same time, a wee bit nervous for most of the young people that are going on that trip, are going on that mission outreach, are about 16. Okay, that's the age group of most of them, 16-year-olds. So I really value your prayers as we seek to serve the Lord just in that wee way, along with our brother Colin. Now, on Saturday night, we usually talk about our challenge time, and that's the time where we come around God's Word on a regular Saturday night in Portadown as we seek to reach out to teenagers and young people in the local area. So what I want to do now is just to turn to God's Word, and I would just ask you if you'd turn in God's Word to John chapter 4 and verse 5, please. John chapter 4 and verse 5. Okay. Does everybody know everybody in here? Yes? Everybody know each other? And yes? No? Not too sure. Tell you what to do. Turn round and shake a hand to the person behind you, and if you're in the back row, the person in front of you, and say hello and give everybody a good welcome round the Word of God tonight. Okay? Come on. Thank you, bro. Thank you. What's your name? Helen. Catherine. How you doing? All right. Come on, Catherine. Amen. Okay. Brilliant. Let's see what God's Word has to say to us. Are you excited about reading the Word of God tonight? Let's see what the Lord has to say to us tonight. Now, what I would love to do is just as we look at God's Word tonight in John chapter 4 and the verse 5, we're going to commence our reading that. If I read the first verse, if everyone else, feel free to join in, okay? I would just love you to read the next verse, okay? And then we'll go down to verse 15 and we'll leave it there at that stage, okay? So I'll read the first verse, and if everybody joins in the second verse, then I'll read the next one, okay? And I just want everybody joining in around God's Word tonight. So I'll read verse 5. John chapter 4 and verse 5. Then cometh he, that's Jesus, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, I will do so. The woman saith unto him, sir, there is nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now if we jump away down in this passage of God's Word to verse 27, and I'll read the first verse again. Verse 27, and we'll just read a few of these verses down to 37. And upon this came his disciples, and marvelled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest. And herein is that same tree, one soweth and another reapeth. Let's just leave it there. Hopefully we've got the grasp of what the passage is all about. I'm sure it's familiar, maybe even to many of you here tonight. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer, ask the Lord to help us all tonight, and especially to open his word to us and to show wondrous things from his precious word, and most importantly, to speak to us each individually here tonight. Father, we just thank you for thy precious word. We just thank you, Lord, that thy word is truth. And Father, Lord, thy word is, it were, as a roadmap for each and every one of our lives. I pray, Father, that, Lord, you'll help us to dig deep in your word tonight, Father. I just pray most of all that, Lord, you'll just hide me behind the cross tonight, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you'll bless every single individual here tonight. Father, you know the needs. You know that where every single person is at in this gathering tonight, Lord. And Lord, perhaps behind the smiling face, Lord, there can be 1,000 things going on in their minds and in the heart, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, that, Lord, if it's your blessed will, you'll really be pleased to speak to someone tonight, Lord, and they'll find, Lord, tonight even this living water. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, just to learn lessons from this woman's life. And, Lord, just help us, Lord, now we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, just to open up your word and be with us and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Just want to talk a wee bit tonight just about a remedy. We know that this woman, she came along and she was at this well. It was about the middle of the day, okay? And the Lord Jesus, he was resting on the side of the well. And it says he was sitting on the well and this woman came along. She had a problem. She had a problem. She needed a remedy. Perhaps as she came along, she didn't realise that she had such a problem. But that's what we want to take a look at just for a few minutes. Just this evening, we want to take a look at that. I wonder, is there anyone in here, and you're doing exams at the minute? Anyone finishing off their exams? Yes? No? No? Yep? One or two? Yep? Some of you maybe finished them just even in the past week. Others, maybe a past few months ago. And I know for some of you that are studying, some of you are doing exams and things like that, there's one sure remedy for passing your exams. What's that? Apart from cheating. Don't want to be looking at that. But studying. We need to study, don't we? What we put in, hopefully we'll get back out again. And there's a remedy for us as we study, as we do those things, we've got to work at it and we've got to put the work in to study. And you know, as you perhaps pass those exams, we put in the hard work in, perhaps that's a stepping stone that the Lord has for you, for your future. Maybe there's others in the meeting and maybe you're a wee bit like myself. Maybe you just didn't make the grade, okay? Maybe you just didn't get there. But you know what? The Lord can still use you tonight. I don't know. It doesn't matter where you're at tonight. The Lord wants us to do our best in everything we do. Some will make it here and some will make it there. But God has a plan for you tonight. And that's the exciting thing about God's word as we look at it tonight. That God has a plan and he has a purpose in every circumstance, in every area, in every detail of our lives. You know what? That excites me tonight. That God has a plan for Philip Harden. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for each one of you. Let's look and let's just see this plan unfold as we look at God's word tonight, even for this woman. And as we look at this story, many of you will be familiar with it. As I said right at the start, she needed a remedy. She had a problem. Let's take a look and see what this problem was and let's see when she heard about the remedy. Take a wee look there at verse 13 for me in this chapter 4 and verse 13. Let's just read it. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Now remember, Jesus is in conversation with this lady and here she is at the well. And he goes on to say, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This woman came along to the well simply because she was thirsty. Remember the country that she lived in? She would need to drink quite a bit. She was thirsty. She came along to the well and she was looking for physical water to quench her thirst. She had a need. But the Lord Jesus pointed out, as we see in the chapter, that she had a greater need. And she thought the Lord at this stage was perhaps talking about the physical need of water. But as we read on down, we see that Jesus took time with this woman. That's the first thing that jumped out at me when I was reading down through this and doing a wee bit of studying for this, through this chapter. Jesus took time with this woman. He took time to talk with her. He didn't just bid her the time of day, get his water and go on. He struck up a conversation with her. And it's interesting, I think, as we look at that, to see that Jesus didn't just talk to her about any old thing. He talked to her about what she was interested in. She came along about to get water, okay, to quench her thirst. And what did the Lord talk to her about? He talked to her about the very thing that she needed. He talked to her about why she was there. He talked to her about that water. And he struck up a conversation with her. And he spent time with that woman. And as I thought about that tonight, I thought there's a lesson for us all. As believers, for those that are saved tonight, for those that want to serve the Lord, it's so important for us all in their daily lives to meet people where they're at. And not just maybe sometimes bidding people the time of day, but actually getting into conversation with them and using that conversation to get to the real need for people that are out of Christ. Just a wee thought that struck me. And I thought it was a really challenging wee thought. So simple. And yet, as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he used so many simple things during his lifetime here on earth to teach us so much. And we can never ever fathom the depths of all those things that are found in his word. But there's so many wee nuggets that we can grab and that we can grasp tonight. That's the first thing. The lady heard about this remedy, this living water. And as you look in that verse, it was a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Yes, Jesus was talking there about himself. As you look on down at verse 15, we want to just take a quick look at that. She receives the remedy. This lady heard about the remedy. She heard about and met the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at verse 15, she receives the remedy. You know, if we weren't well tonight and the doctor said to us, here, take those tablets. They will help you. They'll sort you out. And they'll get you back on the road to recovery again. We'd be a fool, wouldn't we, not to take them? Especially if it was a very serious illness or something that was serious enough that could even take our lives. We would be very foolish not to even consider and not to take the remedy that has been prescribed to us. And here the Lord was giving this lady a remedy. She receives it in verse 15. Verse 15 tells us this. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And again, she was talking about the physical water, but Jesus was going much deeper than that and was talking to her about her greater need. And she had a deeper need than even that she even realized. Perhaps in this stage of her life, perhaps up until now, she'd done things her way. Because if we go on down and we read there in that chapter, we read that she had been in five previous marriages. And this was a miracle in itself when the Lord told her about that. Okay? The Lord was able to tell her all about her life. And as it were, he just, as it were, put it in the canvas right in front of her. And he was able to tell her all about her. Perhaps she had been in those relationships. It doesn't really tell us what those relationships were, why they failed. Perhaps one of her husbands died. Perhaps she was unfaithful. Perhaps he was unfaithful. Perhaps there was a hundred different things that could have happened here. But we've got to think to ourselves, well, if this woman was in five relationships and they broke down, somewhere along the line she was definitely doing something wrong. And I just want to say tonight, perhaps if you're in a relationship tonight Perhaps there's someone here tonight, you've been in a relationship that's broken down. Perhaps it's a relationship that's failed. You know, it's not the end. I know that can be, for many people, that can be something that's really, really tough and emotionally and all sorts of things. There can be a lot of pain there. But think about this. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Where this woman, she had 5 broken relationships. She met the Lord Jesus Christ. She met Jesus Christ on that road. Thirdly, she shared the remedy. And this is the bit I really want to look us to look at tonight. Verse 28. If you just turn to verse 28 with me. Here's what it tells us in verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man. Let's just stop there a wee second. Because this lady stopped. This woman stopped. She had come to the well. Picture the scene. She was at the well. The Lord Jesus was beside the well. And she was there also. She had her water pot. I don't know what that could have been. Perhaps it was like a clay water pot in those days. I'm not 100% sure. But as she came along, she had this water pot. I thought about this. And this is a wee thought that struck me. It tells us in verse 28. She went her way into the city. It tells us just on down that she left her water pot. She left it. Thinking about in the eastern countries in those days and even today, that would have been something that was very, very precious to her. That was her and whoever else was at home, if she had a family, wherever she was, things that were precious to her. Not one thing was that water pot. That was very, very valuable. If she had no longer her water pot, she couldn't draw water, and she couldn't do all those things that would give the rest of her household life. She couldn't survive herself without that water. That water, that well was deep, and as we study and as we look at that, we're told that that well was about 100 feet deep. That was a deep well. She had no water pot. She couldn't take water away from this well. She left that water pot when she heard of Jesus. And she went her way, and she went and she told the people in her city, her neighbours maybe, her friends, her community. She told them, come see a man that told me all things that ever I done. Is not this the Christ? She was so excited about what God had told, about what Jesus had spoken to her. She met this man that was able to tell her all things that ever she had done. About her relationships that had failed. And he knew all about all those things. He was a remedy. The Lord Jesus knew all about her. And I thought that was not a big thing. That she was able to leave what was most precious to her. As we think about that tonight and bring that into our own context. What is most precious to young people today? As a young person sitting here today, tonight. Or as maybe an older person. Wherever you're at tonight. Very often as I think about a lot of things. With some of the young people in Port of Town and that they see out and about and be chatting to, one of the things that they always have is their mobile phone. It's a mobile, maybe it's an MP3 player, maybe it's your, I don't know what all. All the different things that we have that are very precious to people. Is the Lord challenging us about that tonight? The Lord is wanting all of us. And sometimes these things can be good in their own way, but there's so many things that can be distractions. God is maybe perhaps speaking to someone tonight and he's perhaps saying, I want you to leave behind those things, whatever they are. I don't know what those things could be. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe that you're in, because that's going to hold you back from telling others about me. Could that be your case? Could that be your story tonight? The Lord's maybe challenging you, leave those things. They're precious. Yes, they're precious perhaps. But you know what? The Lord perhaps has plans for you tonight. He tells us in his word that his plans to bless us. I wonder tonight, is the Lord speaking to you tonight as a Christian in here tonight? If you're saved and love the Lord, he has so much for you. Please, please, please don't take second best. Think about what God's word is saying tonight. This woman, she left what was precious and she went out and she told all her friends, her neighbours, and all those places, and all those people in that city. And verse 29 tells us, as we look at that, she said, "Come see a man which told me all things, whatever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She went immediately to testify of what God was doing in her life and about this man that she'd met. I wonder tonight, as you sit in our meeting tonight, have you ever met the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever thought about him? Have you ever thought about how you came to be here on this earth? That there is a creator God that has made and created you. And that even beyond that, he has a plan and a purpose for your life. But perhaps he has to bring you to this place tonight. Perhaps you're going through difficulties, struggles. Perhaps friends in work who are Christians have been speaking to you day and night. And yet you're here tonight still without Christ. I was reading a story of a man called Billy Sunday. Who's heard of Billy Sunday? Stick your hand up. You ever heard of him? Heard of him? Billy Sunday? Yeah. Just blows you away, his testimony and the things that God was able to use and do with this man in his life. We're told that in his campaigns, Billy Sunday was a sports person, first of all, okay? Baseball. No, we don't play it much in this country, but in America where he lived, it was a big thing. And he did well at baseball. You know, he met the Lord. The Lord turned his life right round, saved him, and used him as a preacher of the gospel. And it said that in Billy Sunday's 10th campaigns that approximately 1 million people are said to have hit the sawdust trail. In other words, when he made that appeal, they come up the aisle in conviction. The Holy Spirit was speaking to them, come up and got saved and asked the Lord Jesus Christ into their hearts and into their lives, and they were transformed. The Lord spoke to them, and they used this man, Billy Sunday, and many others. But here was one story that gripped me as I read a wee bit about him. A story is told of a man called John that he met. He had come to a city, and he was coming there. It was a city in the States, and he was coming along to speak to the people and to preach to them and to tell them about the Lord Jesus. His name was John. He was a local businessman. He had a small business in that area of the United States. And local Christians come along and they said to Billy, they said, "Billy, you see this man here? If you were able to reach that man, you'd reach a whole load of other ones. Because if God can save him, he can save anyone." So Billy took up that as a bit of a challenge. This man never attended church. But you know the first thing Billy asked the rest of the boys that were running this mission? That were running it? He asked a couple of local ministers and a local pastors. Here's what he said. "This man John you're telling me about, have you ever witnessed to him? Have you ever went to him?" No, they hadn't. And that was the answer. But Billy took up the challenge and he went and he met him. And he found him where his business was. He was sitting up against the wall apparently. He was smoking a cigarette. And here Billy came along and began to speak to him. Began to talk to him just about things in general. And he told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. He asked him this question, and here's what he said. "Have you ever given your heart to God? Have you ever given your heart to God?" That was a question that Billy Sunday asked that man that night. And you know, as that man heard that question, the tears began to roll down his face as he thought about that question. He said, "Mr. Sunday, nobody ever asked me that question before. No one ever asked me to be a Christian." He says, "Many times I watch people here in my shop and they go past and they go to church. They're going to their Sunday schools. They're going to their meetings here and there. During the day they're going to different places. They're all dressed up and they're heading off. But no one ever came and invited me." And he said, "For 19 years I have been here and no one's came. And no one's told me of Jesus." Sunday, of course, took up the opportunity and he asked him, he said, "Well, tell me this before I go. Will you come along to my meeting this week, the week of meetings?" And the man said, he said he would come along that evening. He says, "I'll not come tomorrow night, I'll come tonight." And that night, in that great meeting that Billy Sunday had, he made the appeal and he asked, "Was there anyone going to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that night?" And this man, he didn't put his hand up. You know what he did? He was sitting away at the back row. He got up on the back of the chairs and he ran across the back of the chairs. And he ran right to the front and he got down and he asked the Lord into his heart. And here's the amazing thing. God didn't just save that one man because Billy Sunday went to him and had the boldness to ask him. Here's what happened. It says that the following week, 78 other men, women, whatever, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the testimony of that man. That made me think about the testimony of this woman. She went off into her own place, into her own community, the hardest place to go, in among her neighbours and her friends. She went in among them and she told them, come see a man, told me all things that ever I did. She brought the message to them. And as you read on down through that chapter, you'll see not only the story of this woman, but you'll see the story of many others that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the story of that woman. And it goes on to tell us that others believed, not just because of this woman's word on the Lord Jesus, but because they had a personal experience with him themselves. They went and met and saw for themselves. You know, that woman, I'm sure, had many giants in her life. Apart from those relationships that are mentioned, I'm sure there was many other things that perhaps were giants to her that came across her path that would have stopped her from meeting the Lord Jesus. Remember that she was a woman of Samaria, a neighbour despised by the Jewish people. They didn't like them. They hated them, in fact. They saw them as a crossbreed type of thing, as a foreigner. That's what they thought of them as. And God's word tells us that very clearly. For this woman, perhaps she had a name for herself. She had five husbands in the past. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ, in his love and his mercy, he knew all about her. He identified with her. He met her where she was. He met her at the point of her need. In fact, he knew the very hairs of her head that were all numbered. God knows all about you tonight. He knows all about me. He knows about every single detail in every area of your life. I wonder tonight where you're at. Have you ever thought about putting your faith and trust in him if you're unsaved tonight? I was in Bangor the other week and it was a typical children's outing. It rained, it poured, and I went up into a centre, I think it's a flagship centre you call it, big food court, and you get all the grub and food and all the rest of it sitting up in there. And I was looking out just at the traffic below. My family and all was there, and there was loads of other kids, and the place was crazy, but it was great. And we were looking out, and I saw all the traffic was going past, and I saw this white van. I'm going to talk about white van, man. He came past, but it was a really shining white van. All the transfers up the side, advertising the business, really looked good. But where I was at, upstairs, looking out these big glass windows, you could look down and you could see the top of them. The top of this vehicle, the top of this white van, it was bogging, as we say in Northern Ireland. It was black as coal. But it had the whole side shining. And then the people walking past the street, you thought, whoa, that's nice. Yeah, fancy sign, really looks good, advertising his business and all the rest. But looking from the top, from the bird's eye view, you could see he hadn't bothered washing the top of it. And as I thought about that just the other day, I thought to myself, you know what, is that what the Lord sees? You know, we can look, as we look at each other, as we pass each other in the journey of life, wherever we're at, it all perhaps looks good. Perhaps you look all Christian. You look like the whole deal. That's where I was when I was younger, when I was many of your age. I remember that I used to sit in church, I was all dressed up, looked apart, so I thought, probably didn't. But where I was at, I looked like a Christian. But I was far away from God. I was backslid. No wonder there's someone here tonight, and that's where you're at. You look the part. Remember that Jesus sees in the heart. God sees in the heart. Man looks in the outward appearance. The Lord looked at this woman. He knew every detail in every area of her life. He knew her need. And he met that need. Tonight, where are you at? You know, have you received the remedy? As we just close tonight, I'm just going to show just a couple of wee slides, just of some young people in Portadown, okay? That's where God's placed me. Just in a wee part of Portadown. Give me the opportunity just to witness to young people in that part of God's vineyard. But God knows where he's placed you, Christian, tonight. And I wonder, are you taking that message to those people where God has placed you? Just want to put this up on screen. Hopefully it works. And I just want to finish off just after this, just with one wee thought, okay? So off we'll go, if it works. Just some of the young people in Portadown. Bunch of wee reggae muffins, I call them, but brilliant young people, many of them out of Christ. You know, the challenge is, are we going to bring the gospel to the people where we're at. You know, very often young people are not coming to church today. But you know what I've learned? See, if you're a Christian in the meeting tonight, if you build that friendship with them, you build that relationship with them. I don't mean get into a relationship, but I just mean get to know them, take time with them. Remember the story that we read about tonight? The Lord took time out with this woman. He took time to meet her where she was at. And if you do that, and you really pray for that person, in due season, I believe there will be a harvest. And here's what that verse says later, right on down in verse 35, throws out this challenge to you and to me tonight. Saying unto you, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest. That's the challenge tonight. In Coleraine, there's many young people out of Christ. Thousands and thousands. The challenge to you and to me tonight is to try and reach out to them with this amazing news that Jesus saves one by one. Take time with that one person. Just like the Lord gave us that example. He took time with the one as well as he took time with the multitudes. Very often he took time with one person. Praise the Lord, he took time with me. He took time with you if you're saved in the meeting tonight. Let's just bow our heads and a wee word of prayer and just ask the Lord just to speak to our hearts this night. Father, I just thank you tonight for the challenge of the gospel. Just pray, Father, if there's anyone in here tonight in the right of Christ, Father, I just pray that they'll put their faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary. Lord, they'll just trust in that precious blood that'll cleanse them from sin. Father, just answer prayer tonight, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, there's a remedy for sin. I thank you, Father, there's a way back for those that are, Lord, like the prodigal, that are away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, I just pray tonight, if there's anyone, Father, in that place, Lord, I just pray that they'll come to thee tonight, Lord. Lord, that they'll put their faith and trust in thee, Lord. Father, you care about each one. Father, I just pray for each of us that are, Lord, that are saved, that are washed in the precious blood. Father, I just pray tonight, Lord, that you'll help us, Father. Lord, to have hearts that beat for the lost. Lord, help us to have a shepherd heart. A heart, Lord, that takes time out with other people. That takes time to get alongside. That takes time to share with them the message of the gospel. Father, I just pray that you'll challenge our hearts this summer. Lord, just help us all to be faithful. And Lord, to seek thy face and to see where you want us each to serve thee. Lord, help us to have that servant heart. As Lord, as we heard sung about tonight, Lord, we just pray, Father, that Lord, you'll just, Lord, just challenge us afresh and raise up an army of young people that will serve the Lord, that will go and say, here am I, send me. Realize the fields in Northern Ireland, the fields in Ireland, Father, Lord, they're white and ready to harvest. And we know in the words of that lovely, lovely chorus, that not only in Ulster, but in Ireland, Ireland needs a Saviour. It's a land that's so bright and so fair, it's burdened with sin and with broken hearts, and few there are who care. Souls that are drifting downwards, precious souls for whom Christ died. Father, by thy grace, help us all, Lord, to reach them with the good news of the gospel of Christ. Lord, just bless us. Encourage our hearts. Lead us on with yourself in these days and help us to love thee more. In Jesus' name, amen.